Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. We've been joined and are still joined by Julia Garner, estate planning specialist at CIBC Wood Gundy. We talked a lot about insurance as an investment, which will freak people out right off the bat, right? And we talked about it personally. But guess what? There's even an added benefit potentially for corporate owners, people that have money that are it's trapped in the corporation, and they've got to get that money out of the corporation and looking at ways to do that tax efficiently.
And tax-free, possibly.
Right.
That's the big one. You know, we've been told over the years, keep money in your company, don't take it out. You can take it out at certain times in the future. But there are many Canadian business owners who have money in their corporation that they're not going to use throughout their lifetime.
Right. We and call there's that potential double taxation on that money at the end of the day.
Correct. Right? And so, you know, Julia, when you look at business owners and that they have this capital trapped in their corporation, what's the benefit of having, let's say, life insurance as a business owner in your company when it comes to having this capital that's trapped in the corporation?
Death benefits in a corporation create what's called a capital dividend account balance on payment. So, and many business owners have probably leveraged their capital dividend account in the past. And the capital dividend account, view it as almost a tunnel in which tax-free shareholder dividends can be paid out of the company. And a death benefit creates that tunnel room. So when you have a corporately owned life insurance, you're paying premiums with dollars that haven't been income taxed yet, right? You haven't taken money out of the corporation, been taxed on it, and are then paying premium. You're paying premium in the corporation. Any of the growth in that policy is not subject to tax, right? Similar to that kind of TFSA analogy. It's like a registered account, but in your corporation. And then on death, you have this capital dividend account creation, which means that the majority of the proceeds are exiting the corporation completely tax-free.
It's almost like a TFSA in your company. Yep. It's almost like a TFSA in your company.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to this. So, you know, the idea that it's an investment, the idea that there's a premium and that premium is no longer a cost, right? It is an investment and a tax sheltering vehicle. Okay. What type of corporate owner should be looking at this, should be thinking about this as part of their wealth strategy?
I would say any business owner who has surplus capital that's staying in their corporation. I mean, if your corporation is just a flow through, right? If you're earning money in your corporation and then taking it out subsequently and spending it, then the timing might not be right, right? Not to say that it can't be done in the future, but it might not be the right time. Whereas when you have significant capital that's building up in the corporation, you've also got assets outside, and all of a sudden you're thinking, I don't even necessarily need this capital to fund my retirement, but it's got to come out somehow. What can I do to get it out, right? And this is a great way to do that.
I've got another question about one of the things that gets brought up often in a conversation is that when I put this money into a policy, it's gone, personally or corporately, right? I can't access it. And that's not necessarily the case, depending on how you set the insurance policy up with the cash values or borrowing it against it. Could you just maybe shed some light on that, on that question, that concern that people have?
There's some people that love the idea of the insurance and that they're going to have the tax issues, especially at time of death, but they just don't want to leave the cash tied up in the policy. And that doesn't sit right with them. They want to execute, right? They want to deploy that capital for their benefit. And so what we commonly see in that scenario is someone leveraging the policy. Banks love these policies because you've got these consistent dividends that are vested every year. They're more than happy to take that as collateral. And so if you're a type of person that's willing to take on a bit more risk and wants to deploy the capital instead of leaving it in the insurance policy, there's certainly ways that we can do that.
Faisal, it's almost like buying a house in a corporation. I mean, lots of people own real estate, say, in a corporation, right? Yeah. And they can leverage against that real estate. They can borrow against that real estate, right? And it's the same idea.
Yeah,
right?
And that's a very great and a very good analogy, because people buy real estate in their corporations all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And so when they're doing that and they still want to use that capital for other reasons, you're stuck if you buy a property and you just keep it there, but you can always take that money out, via a line of credit or a loan.
Yep.
And there is no tax when you borrow money.
Right.
That's the beauty of this.
Right.
So there's an opportunity, I think, for people. Now, this can get very complex, either a business owner or if you are an individual looking at this for yourself and your family. It does require a sit down with professionals. We have a strong team that we work with, Julia, as well as our group here at PKAG. When we sit down, Julia mentioned one key thing in the last segment was an actual plan.
Yeah.
Knowing your numbers is important. Julia, when you look at how efficiently this is a tax benefit, how it's an investment, what are a couple things that you look at when we give you a financial plan that says, aha, this might be a good candidate for this type of strategy?
Definitely someone who has surplus capital and surplus capital outside of registered investments. So we definitely don't encourage people to take money out of their RSPs or their tax-free savings accounts to fund these type of contracts. There's always people who have unique family dynamics. Maybe they have a disabled child they need to provide for and are really focused on the insurance for that reason. But we're pretty conservative when it comes to where this policy is positioned relative to their other assets. We don't want people to not be able to retire, but have a great insurance policy. That's not our intention. So we're looking at surplus assets, non-registered investments, where we can say, what can we take from that existing fixed income portfolio and reallocate it to something that is a bit more strategic when it comes to their estate planning?
I think we can end it there. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of complexity, because you're right. These strategies need to be built. As Julia said, this is not an all-in strategy. It's a layer in a proper wealth plan for the people that it works for, right? And so I think we can say goodbye to Julia at this point. Julia, I think you've done a great job of raising awareness around insurance in a way that most people haven't been thinking about. And I think that's critical, right? Our mandate, Faisal, is to educate people, is to talk about the opportunities that they have, educate whether it works for a certain family in certain circumstances, right? And then build layers of strategy for people on how to do that, whether it's personal or on the corporate side.
Absolutely. We've been joined by Julia Gardner, estate planning specialist, CIBC Wood Gundy. Julia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So what I like about what Julia said is the people that this works best for is the people that don't need insurance. So all of those people out there right now, you're thinking, gosh, I don't need insurance. Okay. You need to pause and think about, yes, but do I want it? And can it help me achieve certain aspects of the goals that I have for me and my family, whether it's tax savings, whether it is a conservative investment, any of the things we've discussed today.
Can I have Faisal's pet peeve moment?
Yeah.
Okay. Individual person sits down with their advisor and says, you know, I've got all this money. I want to invest. Okay. So conventionally, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, mm-hmm. ETFs, and now a new area that people are talking about more and more now, we've been doing this for almost two decades, is alternative investments.
Yep.
And alternative investments have generally been either using derivatives, private options, equity, using private credit, those types. Very rare do we see insurance on the table as an option.
Right.
As an option to look at.
Right.
Because when you're investing for 3 points in time, for you today to get some kind of cash flow, for you tomorrow so you can spend in the future, and for the people after you.
Right.
And that third point in time that I'm talking about, the people after you, that's where the opportunities are. But it's never presented as an option. So sitting down with professionals to go through all the options, including insurance, is highly, highly suggested and recommended.
Okay. So we've got to make, we're talking about one aspect of alternative investments. There's a whole range of things to do. There's a whole bunch of things to consider as you retire. And that whole package, the whole framework, has to be built not just in silos, but with all the pieces connecting. And we're going to talk about that our upcoming seminar.
Retirement is complex, and we're going to go right through it all on our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, April 16th at the Silver Springs Golf Course, also in Lethbridge on May 7th at the Sandman Signature Hotel. And either one of those locations, you do need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Faisal, is Trump or Biden best for your portfolio? Ooh. Join us after the break if you want to find out. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.